Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. It's a joy to come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time. We stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We archive these programs at the richarddugan.com radio shows page, and we rebroadcast this program on a2zen.fm. That's A, the number 2, Z-E-N.fm. And we encourage you to check out all of those resources, as well as linking to all of our guests on the schedules page before that particular Saturday's broadcast, and then on the radio shows page following that broadcast on Infinitum. So lots of different resources for you to check out. We encourage you to do just that. Today we are going to go to school, if you will. You know, the Earth has been referred to as a schoolhouse, and we're here to learn stuff. I've been asking the question of my guests, and I will ask that of my guests today as well. What in the world is humanity here to do? What are we here to do? And of course, we've gotten a lot of interesting answers to that question. One in particular that I hadn't, believe it or not, when I first asked the question, I hadn't even thought of, and that was, we're here to experience joy, which is not a bad thing. But we're getting some new and exciting answers, too, and it's really kind of neat. So let's go ahead and dive right into the Over-Self Awakening. It's a guide for the schoolhouse of the soul. My guests are Drs. J.J. Hartog and his wife, Desiree Hartog, and I want to welcome both of you to our program. Thank you very much for taking time out of your, I know, busy schedule, because I've seen you all over the place, to join us on the program.
Well, we're very honored to be a part of your program as it reaches out over the West Coast and to other parts of the world. We are international educators. We work in the areas of social science and environment with the United Nations, but we also, through our Academy for Future Science, look at new roads of consciousness development. And the bottom line here is the realizing of the tremendous power of the mind and the breakthroughs that are happening throughout the world with young people waking up to realize that they don't have to go to a university if they can really tune into the higher powers that they have, the residual powers of evolution.
It is an extraordinary pleasure to talk to folks of your caliber who are and have been for many years interested in, bottom line is, our future and the fact that we will have one. Because some would take a look at what's going on around us today, and on this program we don't usually get into any details, but just take a look at the news and you're going, I don't even think we'll make it till tomorrow. But there are folks such as yourself who have great hope for our future as human beings, but also as spiritual beings. Let's first of all talk about the Academy for Future Science. I need to have you define some terms for me. I have a general idea of what science is in again, a general sense. I mean, I took science classes in school. What is future science?
Well, let me simply start off by saying, by background, I have the opportunity to teach at the University, State University of California, and many years ago to work briefly at the Center for Democratic Institutions in Santa Barbara with Harvey Wheeler, the author of Fail Safe, and many of the gifted thinkers of the late 60s, early 70s who were interested in the power of the mind and pushing the envelope of knowledge in many, many different directions. But my wife and I felt that we would need to look at something more constructive in terms of the networking of information. And the Academy for Future Science was set up with the title Future Science because we believe that there always will be a future and there always will be science. But the scientific method that has separated itself historically from consciousness needs to be redefined. And so we think of not so much the empirical method, but the experiential side of life where you find the evidence and then redefine the paradigm or the method. So our academy is an exploratory form of bringing all of the sciences together with all levels of consciousness education.
Right, Richard. So what our interests are is not only in new energy technologies from ZPE to solar technologies, but also in looking at what we call the quantum consciousness field. And we believe that there is this unique field that goes all over the universe, and it's all part of kind of a larger universal mind field, and we can tap into that. So that means not only are we interconnected with everything, but that we can know things past, present, and future as well. So this is tying into why future science.
This is a subject that, I mean, we could go in so many different directions at this particular point of the program. You bring so much to the table. I was introduced to your work. And by the way, I should let our listeners know that the websites, because you're going to want to check out this information. It's extraordinary. The one website is futurescience.org. The other is keysofenoch.org. And we'll talk a little bit about that later on in the program. But let me ask you, I was going to say that I was introduced to your work through a video at that time, and I still have the VHS copy of, I've been asking the correct pronunciation of this. I've been pronouncing it Merkaba. Some say Merkaba, and some say Merkaba. Needless to say, it's an extraordinary video. I want to talk just briefly about that and the reason why it was created.
Yes, I think of that video is a new adventure of bringing together all of the basic mythological symbols that we swim in and showing a unified basis of consciousness with all of the major mystical traditions. In shorthand, we were able to employ the talents of many gifted computer illustrators, and my wife worked with Jules Engel, who was the right-hand man of Walt Disney in terms of cartooning, illustrations, etc. And so we had the fantastic teamwork of putting together a type of experience of submersion, consciousness submersion, where people who had no acquaintance with the different types of religious, spiritual, and mystical traditions would have the ability to see the interconnectedness of all of these traditions, basically swimming in hyperspace, going through the symbols, assimilating the different levels of music going with the symbols, the different cultural language portions, and then ultimately find a common ground of being a universal human as a result.
Right. So, Richard, as you mentioned earlier when we were talking about Merkaba, is that this video is now available, of course, in DVD. And what it is, it's all animation. And, of course, when we put it out, we actually won several awards for this because people hadn't done that level of animation. But it takes you through cities in space. It takes you through levels of pyramidal initiation. It takes you through certain aspects of what we call initiation in general. And it's that type of experience. Many people look at this and say, hey, I've seen those pictures in my dreams, in my visions, and I understand them. So it's really a way of awakening the soul as well.
In many ways, it's a respatializing of the individual who watches the film, goes through the symbols, and ultimately puts all of these connecting symbols together into a new language.
Let me ask you how all of this is tied into a term that I heard back in the 90s called sacred geometry.
It's a very important part of sacred geometry, which looks at symbols connecting us with the origin of life, how life replicates itself through certain basic geometric forms besides the five platonic solids, and looks at different levels of sensory perception as well as direct brain activity that come out of one's own creativity, building, as it were, a temple of science, a temple of spiritual oneness, a temple of artistic design within the inner psyche. And this is why we entitled the sub-chapter of our book, The Schoolhouse of the Soul, because it is the exploration of the inner space that's so important at this stage of transition that we're going through. Yes, we have fantastic information being downloaded from the electronic revolution through satellites. Everything is coming in, but it's the way we organize our levels of data collection, the way we work with our perceptual levels of the memory in the brain, the direct brain perception and direct brain action needs to be in some type of harmonic, and sacred geometry provides the outer side of the inner side of the musical pulse that goes with that.
Right, and so when people talk about sacred geometry, oftentimes people think about such elaborate figures as the icosahedron or the dodecahedron or even some of the crop circles that people see in England. These are all sacred geometry. Oftentimes you can take a crop circle, a two-dimensional type of relationship, and people have made these into three-dimensional figures and found some very fascinating geometries. But we've also worked with the basic sacred geometry we believe is the pyramid and the tetrahedron. And we've even gone into places in the Yucatan, some of the pyramids there, and also into Giza, the Great Pyramid, and we've done sound testing. And it's interesting that when you do the sound testing, you get these frequencies coming back that are somewhat representative of the geometry of phi and pi, some of the very basic keys to geometry and building. Very, very interesting how geometry is really in every part of our lives, even within our DNA.
So, Desiree, and I have taken this information from a wide variety of sources, from archaeology, geology, culture, history, comparative religion, philosophy, consciousness, and consciousness cosmology, and put this into what I call cosmograms, or pictures, that allow the reader to go into multidimensional levels of experience. And you've seen this in our new book, and you made a comment that you were really thrilled with some of the unique features of this type of illustration.
Oh, it's, as a matter of fact, I've been drawing on and off most of my life, and a lot of the imagery that I draw is very geometric. And I mean, I can even describe very briefly the process, and that is that I initially draw a very large outer border, whether it's round or variations of a curved outer structure, or sometimes I'll do lines and connect it. Then I'll crisscross, and then what I eventually end up with is a bunch of triangles throughout this geometric form. And then what I do is I go back and I color in the little spaces, if you will, but I never put two colors next to each other. For some reason, it's like, okay, you don't want blue next to blue, even if it's two different shades. And I go through that. And then when I looked at your book, and I was looking even at the cover here, which is very, very nice, I really enjoy this. And again, the book is called The Overself Awakening. It is a guide for the schoolhouse of the soul. And as I commented before we started, it's like holding a textbook, which is appropriate considering the context of the schoolhouse. But the book is also made up of, I believe it's 72 different chapters, and they're short, nice little readings. For example, we begin to acknowledge our higher selves is one chapter. And again, these are only maybe a page or two in length with some wonderful diagrams. Who was your illustrator?
Well, I was the person who put the template together. Then I had two European artists in Germany help me with the illustrations. And we were very successful in doing this, shall we say, in a quick fashion of putting together the right colors, the right geometric symbols. And the idea was to have a geometric flow of supportive language so that the chapters would build on complexity, very much like a starflake going more and more into fractal geometry.
Right, so it starts with understanding who we are on the physical self, but then ultimately what we believe reconnecting to our higher selves and the stages we have to go through both consciously and in terms of just evolutionary process-wise to connect with that higher self. And then once we do we do with that? You know, what's the next phase? And it's the activation of the grids on the planet Earth. It's the awakening of all humanity. So it's these various steps that are taken throughout the book.
I'm always intrigued by shapes. Matter of fact, I've done a couple of programs where we've talked about, and I don't know the name of this, you may, where an individual sees colors in individual letters and numbers. And I do that. I have, since I can remember, I've always been able to see, and it's always the same. A one is always the same color, and a two has always been the same color. And then you start putting those ones and twos and threes together in different sequences, and it makes its own unique color. When I take a look at the months of the year, each month has its own hue based upon the combination of those letters. Each of those letters has a different color, which translates into what I wanted to jump into, and that has to do with the tree of life and the Hebrew alphabet. Each of those letters also has a corresponding color, a numerical ranking, a musical tone, if you will, a legend behind it. Is this something that quite literally, as you folks have studied, permeates life as we know it on this planet from the beginning of man's existence? There have been these unique, well, we'll call them unique. If they're part of it, it's been here. We've just sort of discovered them over time. But these unique patterns and sequences and forms that we're just now discovering can really help us and help us to propel ourselves forward through especially this transitional period?
Well, definitely. First, we're waking up out of this black and white reality into the multicolored spectrum that we live in. And you're a perfect example of that. And I think younger people are starting to see this greater reality. But then even going beyond the normal colors, because you can get into, you know, a red, a blue, a yellow, but how about all the other aspects of the rainbow, which is myriads of colors? And this takes us into frequencies, into geometries. As you're seeing the geometry and the color as well. But also there's sound frequencies, there's vibratory frequencies. And we exist, we believe, in only one frequency of vibration. We can only see between like 4,000 and 7,000 angstrom units of the world. But in reality, there's much more going on higher and lower than that. So when you start to understand that we're just one vibratory resonance in a certain larger scope of reality, you start understanding maybe these geometries penetrate. Now, there's a theory in physics that's called string theory. Many of your listeners have probably heard about that. And it ties into this, that what's going on this three- or fourth-dimensional reality, fourth dimension being time, is also the same geometry, in a sense, as present in a fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth-dimensional reality. So this is just something to start thinking about, that we're not restricted anymore, even in our consciousness mind, to this small little wavelength frequency that we're operating in.
We could say that until the beginning of the 20th century, science was largely colorblind. You do not have color, such as pi red, pi green, pi yellow. In mathematics, you have certain mystical terminology, but the breakthroughs that have occurred in terms of volumetric space, global scaling, all of these breakthroughs that are coming now also come with the realization that there are other components of consciousness. And we've been largely ignorant of the fact that living systems have been composed of physical material particles, each having electromagnetic property with its own vibration, with its own unique disposition. And so our work has been to work with some of the best minds in the world. Some of our listeners may recall when the blue television screen was introduced to radio stations and television stations throughout the world. I had a colleague, Nam June Paik, from Korea, who was important putting together the first video synthesizer, who realized that the blue background was so important for energy and information transmission. We've had the opportunity to work with Morton Sabantic in music in sacred geometry. He was the father of the first electronic symphony, and so on and so forth. We find that each of these breakthroughs in the new sciences comes with a certain color code, comes with a certain geometric facet. And putting this together, we realize there's a greater language of experience, a greater mosaic of life that we can step into and really transform ourselves. And out of this comes what we call the light body, a person who is multidimensionally aware of the greater cosmos, the greater reality that we work with if we desire to do so.
It is, without a doubt, some extraordinary work. And if my ears, do my ears deceive me, Jay, Doctor, you narrated the Merkabah?
Yes, I did.
I thought so. I recognize that voice. I'm going, wow, it's got to be him. So there we are. Okay, well, we're going to take a short break. And we're going to check in with our astronomical astrological assignment editor, Beth McDonald. We're also going to talk with a participant out at the Conscious Life Expo that's going on the second weekend in February. We certainly hope that you will make a point to check that out. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand.
And welcome back to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, along with my astronomical and astrological assignment editor, Beth McDonald. And I have to say, Beth, my technology is starting to pay off. And Amrita made an interesting comment to me the other day where she says, you know, you seem to resist change. But then once you dive into it, it's like you love it. I mean, I'm sitting here with my little smartphone, and I'm looking at your email dealing with awaken your vision and feed your head, and we'll get into that. And then, of course, there was some other thing that was going on, and I told her the story, and I said, and you know what? I kind of like the new thing. And that seems to be happening to me more and more, whereas before it was a greater resistance and not as much. You know, that's not a bad idea, as opposed to, you know, I'm just going to keep doing it the way I've always done it. And that's really what we're talking about here today in terms of making, I don't even want to use the term turning the corner, but making new choices. And we're spinning off of the interview with Greg Braden last week having to do with making new choices for the, we'll call them the old challenges, because we already know what the old choices get us.
Exactly.
So let's talk about awakening our vision, and then, of course, the concept of feeding your head.
Feeding my head. Yes, that is a lovely homage to Grace Slick and the Jefferson Airplane. You know, in order to vision, you have to be putting new material in to stimulate what's already in there. To stimulate the epiphanies, and if you don't put it in there, God will arrange an incident for you that will bring something in there. And so, you know, resistance is somewhat futile. And you know, my grandmother used to say, humans are so funny, you know, they spend half their time praying for change and half their time being upset when it comes. And so, you know, part of what we're doing is embracing the change that has already occurred that we may be a little reticent about or uncomfortable about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're now in, according to Western astrology, which I realize is different from sidereal, but we're now in the energy of the sign of Aquarius, the archetype of the visionary, and visionaries are change agents. And so this is the period of time where it's all about change. We're looking at what we accomplished last year and realizing what we want to change and realizing what we have to do to make this year different. And on the one hand, it's awesome. And on the other hand, if you're a little sweaty under the armpits or a little angry or resistant, you know, work it, work it, work it. You know, this is the time for that. This is the time where we're beginning to implement the changes and asking actual and part of it is part of being successful is knowing where you need to ask for help spiritually and recruit help on the material plane. It takes a village.
Yeah, it certainly does. And by the way, coming up February the 2nd is Candlemas or Imbolc, I believe that's how it's pronounced.
Yes. Yes, it's also like Mardi Gras Shrove Tuesday, and then the next day is Ash Wednesday. So, you know, that week is a big week spiritually.
Party, 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 and pray, pray, pray.
Yeah. Celebrate the good, what we have. You know, I love the New Orleans culture. I love New Orleans funerals. It's like they grieve going in, you know, and then coming out. They're happy and joyous and joyful, you know.
And one other element here before we close that. Here it is. Mars went retrograde in Virgo on Monday the 23rd. And this is interesting because as I read this, forcing us to focus on being more accurate and precise, especially around our health, physical bodies, and how we are of service to God and to our fellow man. And it's interesting because I've noticed there is more precision, whether it's in my work or doing things at home, where it's like, okay, I have to stack these things just so. Let's do it right the first time so that it doesn't fall over or this or that or the other. It's interesting how I wasn't even aware of this, and yet now that I read this, I'm going, you know, I've been kind of doing that already.
Yes, and for most of us, you know, we're a little bit in tune, you know, and so
What I love about using these different spiritual, metaphysical, religious methods mm-hmm. is that it awakens us on a good day
yeah.
to how in tune we already really are.
Yeah. And that's something, too, that we're going to be getting into in future programs is and I believe it was Toni Elizabeth Surra who was on the program. She's been on several times, who has basically stated that there isn't any process of ascension. We're already there. We just have to awaken to that reality. And that's an interesting concept.
Yeah, it to me, it always goes back to the God within.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
there is a God within and a God without.
Yeah.
And they are the same thing. And we just have to cotton to that.
All right. And you can cotton to Beth McDonald and Beth McDonald Consulting by going to BethMcDonaldConsulting.com or call 963-0842. Do me a favor, folks. Follow the 0842 on your on your phone pad. It's a backwards question, Mark. And you can ask her questions.
If you have questions, call me.
Call Beth at 963-0842 and BethMcDonaldConsulting.com. And as most of you know, we are replayed tomorrow or Sundays on A2Zen.fm. That's the letter A, the number 2, Z-E-N.fm at 3 p.m. Pacific time. So there's a link on the Richard Dugan website to that location if you want to hear it again or you missed it. You don't want to download it. You don't want to clutter your computer up with all these files. Great. And, of course, we have the archives as well. You can re-listen as well. Beth, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And here we are continuing our program in this particular segment as we talk about what we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, something that's coming up in the next couple of weeks, the 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th at the Los Angeles International Airport Hilton. It is the Conscious Life Expo, and with us on the lines all the way from South Carolina. Tell me about the mistakes that won't be made coming up that weekend of the Conscious Life Expo. What are you going to be sharing with our the audience that will be there that particular weekend?
Well, you know, Richard, my whole focus is about losing the fear of death. After going through three of these experiences and spending 35 years as a hospice volunteer, developing more than 27,000 hours at the bedside and being with 2,005 people as they left this world and 422 as they take their last breath, I have a very good level insight on this thing that we call death. My part is to establish the fact that it never happens. And second, to take a good look at about the privilege it is to live this life. This life is a rare privilege, and when people put it in the context of any other thing other than that, they are failing to see the gift that they have earned to be able to live in this life. And so I think that my part is to ground people. I don't want people to be afraid. And we've all become so fear-based and fear-driven by what we have around us, terrorism and the way the government is operating and the new defense appropriations bill that makes the United States a battlefield, which completely eliminates the Constitution. And so in all of that, we become fearful of our lives. But I want people to understand that this life is a rare privilege, that we manifest and create the life we live, and that we don't die.
Well, now, I want to ask you before we run out of time here, you say that we don't die, but Danian, I can show you death certificates. Define what you mean by that.
That's just a piece of paper.
Well, I know that is. I'm asking you to define what you mean by the term that we don't die.
That says a big bag of water has expired its time based on the constructional DNA depletion system, and that spiritual being in consciousness passes from that bag of water back into its original state as a spiritual being.
And we're going to... Go ahead.
You're 70%, 74% water, and we now, based on what people call quantum physics, Richard, I don't know who made that up, but it's particle physics, we now can prove categorically that we are all energy. There is no solid matter.
Uh-huh. Right.
So once a person starts to realize that, then what the Conscious Life Expo becomes about is picking the the people who are there, and choosing how to look and review your life about who you really are, as opposed to the mental, physical being terrified of life you have been taught to be.
And we're going to talk more about this on July 28th. We're going to have you back on the program for a full program, full hour, to discuss this. But folks can also go in February. They don't have to wait till July. They can go February the 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th. The 13th is a Monday, and it's a special event that's going on. But that weekend, you can go to the LAX Hilton down in Los Angeles, and you can hear Danian talk. And you can also get more information by going to their website. And your website is what?
It's just Danian.com. But you know what, Richard? This is 2012.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the midst of a shift. This shift is occurring. Science is the Mayas, but the science are recognizing this shift. And this is the first 2 months in a new year of 2012.
Yeah.
It behooves everybody to come, even if you have no idea about what conscious life is, to take time and look at this website, to look at people like Lisa Williams and David Wilcock, George Norrie, Greg Braden, Susan Miller, Michael Cremo,
Stephen Halpern.
Steve Halpern.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are some of the leaders in this field, and this is good science.
Yeah.
What we used to call mythology,
mm-hmm.
now so-called cosmic waves.
Right, right.
It can now be measured in neutrinos and tachyons and to the degree of a subatomic particle.
And we'll talk more about that on the 28th. We have to break here. I'm Richard Dugan. Danian.com, that's Danion. That's N as in Nancy, Danion.com. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. Don't you go away.
Remember the stories your family used to tell?
Till I got married, 1913, when my father and my uncle came from Italy.
When was the last time you listened to the songs of your youth?
Well, close enough. Yes. Very swinging sound here in the Bilhart Underground. That's Wild Things.
Want to hear those voices and music again? Fast Forward can help. Fast Forward Audio Communications can transfer your records and tapes to CD so you can hear them again for the first time.
You're listening to a live transmission of the voice of astronaut Walter Chirac.
Those memories are priceless and are great to hand down to the next generation. Keep those memories alive. Call 805-708-9804.
That's the greatest thing that I ever heard.
Fast Forward. It's the right direction for preserving your family memories. Just call 805-708-9804.
Shoematch Casino Resort proudly presents Vince Neil. Lead singer for legendary heavy metal group Motley Crue. Vince Neil. Live in concert. Thursday, January 12th.
Take a ride on the wild side.
The blonde bad boy frontman and vocalist for Motley Crue. Singing all your Crue favorites. Vince Neil brings his special blend of Motley Crue music and mayhem to Shoemash Casino Resort. Tickets are on sale now at Club Shoemash or call 800-585-3737 or order online at shoemashcasino.com. Don't miss Vince Neil of Motley Crue live January 12th at 8 p.m. only at Shoemash Casino Resort.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we are talking with our special guest on the phone about a book they've written, The Over Self Awakening, A Guide for the Schoolhouse of the Mind. Doctors JJ and Desiree Hertog, and I want to thank you both for hanging in there. I want to jump right back into here and talk a little bit about some of the other work that you are doing. We talked about the Merkaba, and of course your latest work, of course, as I just mentioned, this particular book is available through your website, which is futurescience.org, and you also have a secondary website dealing with the Keys of Enoch, which I'd like to touch upon as well. The keysofenoch.org is also the website. Doctor, tell me a little bit about this work, the Keys of Enoch.
Well, the Keys of Enoch are composed of 64 scientific statements, affirmations of life that connect everything from the archaeological and the biological side of life to the one of consciousness, development, and cosmology. In essence, it's a textbook in parapsychology and paraphysics showing that we have this ability to realize through a higher type of language experience we call the language of light or musical linguistics, that we are part of an ongoing process of evolution that does not stop with Mother Earth, and that we have the wherewithal to create a positive future if we choose to take a higher pathway of evolution, i.e. we can change the way we can literally reprogram our own DNA, RNA, if we are strong enough and, should we say, courageous enough to take a greater look at cosmology. If I may just quote one of the sections of the Keys of Enoch published in 1973. Thus, the direct relationship between the size of the universe, the diameter of the proton, and the human range of vision is part of a larger mass energy space-time transformation, which involves changes in our basic concepts of the known universe. And so as we expand through our astronauts and cosmonauts going on into the other adventures of space, we can also expand noetically through inner consciousness by being psychonauts, psychic explorers of the dimensions of the interior of our body, because we are as much in space as space within us. And if we can balance the equation, we suddenly realize there's a whole threshold of information that can pour into our bodies as musical vibratory antennas or transducers.
Mm-hmm.
We are living biotransducers in a multidimensional universe, wakening up to the fact that the divine spark is alive and well within each of us.
But as I mentioned, Richard, the whole premise of the Keys of Enoch is that there's this information that is coming to this planet through a consciousness awakening, and I think even the reduction of the magnetic fields might have something to do with it, that we're picking up on thoughts and ideas of how to do things, of how to make improvements in our life, in our community, new energy technologies that we can use so that we can move forward. And we feel move forward into a greater cosmic awareness, not only of ourselves, but of other civilizations in space. And this is all part of our growth and awakening. That's part of the over-self awakening as well.
Let me ask you in that light, how can we be sure that what's happening to the planet isn't just... we're not going into the direction of politics or policy here, but how do we know that it's not just a natural process? You talked about the magnetic fields and they seem to be weakening, which may be perpetuating this wonderful access to information and thought, that we are here now. And I read somewhere that those of us who are here, who chose to be here, are the heroes for being willing to live through this kind of change and transformation, and the planet's going through the same thing. Couldn't this be viewed as just, this is just the natural course of events?
Well, there are certain naysayers that will look at the UN intergovernmental reports from 2007 beyond that tell us that there's no such thing as climate change. There are those who tell us that the oceans are not warming up. You know, we bear to differ. We were just in Japan talking to Japanese scientists who know the underground of what is really happening there in Fukushima, with the terrible pollution of the ocean areas, not only of Japan, but also of the Koreas and Taiwan. We know that things are not what they should be, and that the misuse of science and information has caused us to take a slow drift towards biospheric collapse. And this is why it's incumbent upon everyone to use the global commons, to use the information systems that are available and come to his or her own conclusion that there is a higher pathway of information that nature does show us, and supernature, if I may use that term, does confirm that we are not alone in the universe in the processing of information. We can drop out and be cynics, or we can drop in and take an upward step towards a higher positive evolution. We're recognizing we can do more with the God-given gift of creativity, information, assimilation, and higher energy consciousness production.
Right. So we actually do believe, you know, things are changing around us. I mean, solar flares, this is going to be the solar max. There's a solar minimum, solar max about every 11, 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
We're definitely moving into the solar max. Very interesting that this is about the same time that the Mayans talked about 2012. We certainly don't think it's the end of the world, but there are interesting things. Like we just had lunch today outside, middle of January, Northern California. You normally wouldn't have been able to do that. It would have been too cold. I think the whole West Coast is, you know, very, very warm. We were just in L.A., and it was like 80 degrees in the middle of the day. Very unusual.
Yes.
So these changes are definitely taking place on the planet, and I think we're all here, what you were saying, we're all here to find solutions, to find positive directions that we can take. I mean, we can balance this energy. We can take future steps into moving in solar energy. Very simple. I mentioned that earlier, but one of the greatest things is now GE has come out with solar film that you can just put on your windows. They're not going to release it to the massive market yet, but they're testing it on the East Coast this year. I mean, there's ways of getting rid of the fossil fuels, and we just need to all be willing to step forward and all make that difference. I love California. There's so many Priuses around. Everyone's driving a Prius. It's great, but this means we're doing something,
yeah.
And I think that's why we're here right now. You were going to ask that question, but I think I'll answer it. We're all here to be able to wake up and make a difference, take the courage to make a difference for planet Earth and to help those around us, and I think that's really why we're here. We're here to be able to be conscious of one another. As environmentalists say, you dump it, you drink it. And, you know, I just heard this on television. There was a report that for a child who hadn't even been born, they tested the umbilical fluids, you know, in the womb or right after the womb, and they found, like, hundreds of chemicals from nature, from us, in the fluid of the child before they were even born. So, you know, we have to wake up. We have to make a difference. We have to make a change.
I think one of the other things, and again, my question does not abdicate our responsibilities to taking care of where we live and work and play, but I'm curious as to the whole spiritual or metaphysical ramifications, because as with you, I do not believe that there is going to be a literal physical a cataclysmic event that's going to take place in or around December 21st of this year, that it is all going on inside of us. It has been for so long. And so I'm curious as to the two of you as, if I may use the term respectfully, academics, what about your spiritual perspectives on all of this?
Well, the spiritual perspective is really the core of our work we're doing throughout the world. We realize that the individual's being bombarded with information from all levels, and yet it is the inner part of the human psyche that has this resonance of waking up to think in mental pictures. And we find that by using these illustrations or cosmograms to waken the mind to think outside the box, some individuals can tap into other dimensions of intelligence. That reawakens what I believe is the problem of Western society and separating the spiritual with the scientific. We're recognizing now that there's a much larger concept of spirituality that we are connected with, the infinite mind, the infinite process of evolution, and the infinite ways of specieshood are all interconnected within that drama of finding that we are both divine as well as human at the same time. We are in a partnership of a man-God relationship or woman-God partnership where we are beginning to find within ourselves that we are embryo gods waking up to the great cosmic privileges we will have as we meet with our consciousness and cosmic counterparts in the greater universe.
However, on a very practical level, many people I know, I've talked to hundreds recently, that they're very stressed. There's been a lot of stress put upon them, whether it's interpersonal relations, whether it's economics or whatever, in the last month or two. And, you know, the important thing if you want to activate your spiritual body is to realize almost what the Buddhists say, stay centered in yourself and in that connection that you have with the divine. Mm-hmm. And when you can do that, you actually become the light for the planet. You are no longer adding to the chaos or adding to the negative thinking, but you actually add to the solutions and you help humanity. And just by being centered, being a positive bright light of energy in the midst of others, you can really change the people around you. You don't even have to say anything. You don't have to go preaching to anybody. You can just be there, and people are attracted to that energy.
And we put out another book called The 72 Living Divine Names of the Most High, which is a look at some of the ancient sacred expressions that were used by the great prophets and mystics in the Hebrew, the Aramaic, the Greek, and the Coptic languages. And we have this illustrated, like our new book, with cosmograms of multi-picture combinations. And people going into the picture with the sacred name go through a type of inner transformation. We have found that this is a very effective way of teaching in a world where things are going so fast. The mind is absorbing information more in pictures, and if those pictures can be attuned to music constructs or a musical context, the higher awakening process or the eureka experience, the epiphanal experience takes place.
So then you would say, if I'm understanding you correctly, that the five human senses can be utilized to take in the kinds of, I'll use the term information, that will actually assist us not only just through transformations like what we're going through, but also being centered, finding peace, those types of things. And that's the kind of work that you've put out through, like with the Merkabah, you have music, you have the visuals, you also have verbal dialogue, if you will, that is also helping to guide us through that context.
Well, besides the five senses, we worked with the sixth sense of precognition and what we call the language of proto-communication with serious scholars such as the late Dr. Buharich, the great mathematician Elizabeth Rauscher, who proved over 30 years ago in tests at Stanford Research Institute that the human mind, under certain conditions, can project a mental picture around the world and make contact with a corresponding individual who's sending a similar mental impulse or picture and transmit and receive information with a high degree of accuracy, so accurate that this research inspired astronaut Mitchell and others like him to send messages from outer space back to human biological targets without the use of any physical technology. What I'm saying in shorthand is we are reaching a point of the global mind awakening to the fact that we can also step out beyond the umbilical cord of Mother Earth and begin to think now of ourselves as a space kind of humanity that's taking a voyage into the next dimension, where we are able to prove, as it were, theory through the accumulation of results that have been privately tested in the last 30 years.
It says to me that is an area of study and that it speaks of evolution. I was sharing with my wife the other day, we were having a conversation along these lines in terms of humanity's evolving. And many people think that we've evolved because of our technology. But the reality is our technology has nothing to do with our evolution. Our evolution, if I'm hearing you correct, doctor, is an internal process that then manifests externally. But the external manifestation isn't the evolution. It's what goes on the inside of us.
Right. We can sublimate. We can maximize these situations. We know that our organ systems can be divided into tissues into cells, cells into molecules. But ultimately, the molecules are made up of atoms, and the atoms themselves can be broken down into quarks, leptons, electrons. And all of these are spinning magnets, you know, systems of energy within us that can be maximized if we have the right way of orientating this information. Some would call it a type of inductive syntony, of bringing about the human energy field of the human biocomputer to wake up and to realize that we've been only working with one or two channels when we can work with 24 or above in terms of cosmic organization.
Right, and we ultimately feel that we're moving into a movement away from our physical form that's exclusive into, and that's the whole thing with the over-self awakening, an energy form, some would say a light form. And there's some scientific evidence that even the DNA comes from like a light frequency vibration. It's kind of a looks like a light where it spins down. It's a twist to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that you can actually go from that light to physical matter, from physical matter back into the light. And that's our ultimate goal. Now, in terms of what we've manifested in science, it really, just like the internet, it's a reflection of our own consciousness.
Yeah.
That's really what science is all about. But ultimately, the true science is the science of the universe.
And the science of higher consciousness is future science, because it doesn't work with paradigms as final paradigms. It doesn't work with boxes of information without doorways of future exploration.
There's no finality to it. It's just continuous. Interesting.
This is the infinite way and the infinite spirit that brings us together. And the great excitement is that this is a point of joyous departure, of rediscovering the divine self, recognizing what some of the writers of the New Testament refer to as putting on the mind of Christ or higher Christed awareness, realizing that we can achieve a much higher level of experience if we allow ourselves to be open and positive in all things that we do, not just a part of the time, but all of the time. And this is the great challenge that we face as a global community waking up to a new information source that is not simply earthbound. We are being prepared to be custodians of a greater evolutionary process.
Extraordinary.
We are being prepared to wake up as Homo Universalis.
You've been studying this for how many years? I mean, I realize just going back into the 60s and 70s.
Well, Dr. Tech had a unique experience which created the Keys of Enoch in 1973, the beginning of 1973.
Mm-hmm.
So
I've been at this for 40 years, practically.
Wow.
But we also work in music. Our work has been performed by the Berlin Philharmonic. We work in archaeology, doing work in Egypt, in Brazil, in Mexico. We work also in space science. We work with
the environment,
several of the ex-astronauts and space law. So we cover pretty much about 9 different disciplines.
Wow. Now, so I noticed that you, JJ, you, Doctor, you have a double PhD.
Right.
I am curious as to the desire on both of your parts to pursue these courses of study, if you will, or these disciplines, however you want to phrase it, to this level. I mean, this is beyond anything that I think I would have the patience for. I'd be lucky to get a BA.
Well, we salute you for your honesty, and that we know that the game in some parts of the world is you have to have a union card, otherwise you can't preach or teach. And major universities, if you really want to reach the world, you have to have at least some formal training and experience of getting your bootstraps.
I mean, you have your broadcasting license, which is, you know, extremely important. And in a sense, our way of getting information out there is oftentimes through academia.
Yeah.
And so we work in those. Of course, he got his PhDs in the early 70s and things like that. So I got mine more recently, but it moved us to New York, and we started working with sustainable development connected with the UN. And we'll be going. We were in Johannesburg 10 years ago for the World Summit on Sustainable Development, and we'll be in the Rio Plus 20 this summer as well.
Wow.
So we think that's really important because people have to be doing something. Your question, I hope it comes up again. What are we doing here?
That's going to be one I will put to both of you. I'm curious if you're aware. I'm sure you've got to be. You're aware of many of the, we'll call them visionaries, who have these concepts for the future. I had the privilege of interviewing, it's going on 2 years now, Jacques Fresco of the Venus Project. And I was so intrigued by him because of the basic premise that he was laying out, which I'm sitting here going, Jacques, I want it now. I don't want to wait. And I asked him, I says, is this going to happen in your lifetime or my lifetime? And he responded at the time of the interview, he was 94, and he said it would never happen in his lifetime, and it would probably not happen in mine, and I was 47 at the time. And he said basically because humanity has not raised its consciousness to the level where it could ever hope to live in a civilization that he has conceived of. Because as my wife loves to say, man is literally just outside the cave.
Yeah, that's sad. Actually, you'll tell her chapter 2 is about the Plato comment and what happens when we start seeing the light. you know, in Plato's Republic, and we look around, and you know, we're frightened by the light getting out of the cave.
Yeah.
But the Venus front, yeah, I'm taking a look at that. We agree that that's, you know, a great future. But we also think that there's some contact that we will have with other levels of intelligence. And the Keys of Enoch actually is something that showed us that in various areas of science we would progress. And this progression has come not only just from ourselves and not just from extraterrestrials, but even from these thought forms coming in to help us evolve so we can make that greater connection when we need to.
Yeah.
It's a little bit far out, but...
So, Richard, we're working worldwide on 5 continents, from Australia to the American, North and South American side of the world, the African, the European side of the world, so we get a chance to really see a lot of things that are happening in other parts of the world that most do not, who are stuck in academic institutions. Again, this is why we moved away from formal academics to taking the schoolhouse on the road.
Yes. Well, and that's one of the things that I want to do with this radio program is take it on the road, because I want people in the United States to know that there are other people who are working to try to make their lives and the lives of the people around them better, to improve and better their communities, the civilization in which they live. They don't want to continue the way it's going. They want something different.
That's what we feel about 2012. People say, you know, is this the end of the world? Well, you know, only if you want it that way, because most people really, you know, if they're willing to do something, can make a change, can make a real step forward, and
yeah.
We can get rid of some of this crap that we've been dealing with for so long, and therefore move into a more positive way of living. And I think things like the Venus Project could come out sooner, maybe not, you know, living on the water or something like
sure.
that, you know. But we can make that change, we believe. We're very positive people.
I did some consulting at Jet Propulsion Lab in Los Angeles, connected with NASA, and we were the first to publish the pictures of Mars in the interesting geometric forms that were found by Mariner 9, suggesting that there are also pyramid structures on Mars that were mathematically in patterns that would beg the imagination to suggest that maybe someone else in the universe was on our sister planet when it had an atmosphere. So we've been involved in some of the controversial things of where science meets the future, and has to shift gears.
I make the analogy that there are, just for the sake of argument, 10 billion laws of the universe. Man has discovered 10 of them and thinks that he knows it all, but then the next year he finds the 11th. Ah, now we know it all. And I think it's also the height of arrogance of man to think that he's the only living being in the universe. I think that's, you know, it's like, are you kidding? Really? You think that this all was made just for us?
Even scientists are starting to say, you know, when you see the billions and billions of stars out there with the Hubble, you know, there's no way that we're the only ones.
It seems as though the disciplines that you've chosen and the educational directions, they mesh well together between the two of you.
Exactly. Well, this is the complementary side of a husband-wife team working internationally, where we've decided early in life not to have a family but to help the family of Mother Earth. And the only way we could do this is to make certain sacrifices of our lifestyle and our priorities.
Although we do encourage people to have children, because this planet needs really positive minds to move forward as well.
And I also have to wonder, too, Doctor, if it really is a sacrifice. If you make a choice to go in a particular direction, are you really sacrificing anything?
Well, that's a good observation. Yes and no, in terms of, you know, the individual comforts of a home and the whole bonding what one has with one's immediate group. Yes, there's a certain distance. At the same time, familiarity with people throughout the world makes one realize that they're all part of one's family, one's global family, and that is a more important consideration and reward.
And what we find is amazing is the fact that we could go to South Africa, or we could go to the Far East or wherever, and people are all starting to wake up simultaneously. And this is even a little bit before the Internet took over. You would find people starting to understand certain concepts of life, you know, like quantum consciousness, in other parts of the world, just because they were starting to wake up. It's almost like this collective mind is taking place regardless of the Internet.
So you could call it a global shift, or a global university waking up to its powers.
I like that. And again, I listen to the news and I follow this, that, and the other thing. And And I sometimes I just kind of sit there in a little bit of despair going, why are we still doing this? This is so silly. I can't believe that you're still squabbling over this issue or that issue that is so irrelevant to the totality and the temporariness of this life.
Exactly. And this is where we have to come down to recognizing the preciousness we have at our fingertips to learn from all levels of what is now available through the evolution and the revolution of science and technology, giving us the comforts and things that were not possible in previous generations. And so we have whole libraries of information available at our fingertips.
Yeah,
we can beam up and beam down information just through an instrument the size of our watch that really opens vast libraries of knowledge if we're willing to make the sacrifice and take the courageous step of being a universal human, that is to say, to take on the responsibilities of sharing knowledge properly and harmonically so that no one is left out if possible.
I live up on the hill above Santa Barbara, and I take the philosophy that if I lived downhill from me, being the person at the top of the hill, would I do some of the things like change the oil or strip out the radiator fluid or pour this pesticide or this other fluid onto the ground? No, I wouldn't. Not if I lived below me, I wouldn't. And I think that's the position that a lot of folks need to start taking a look at, is you don't start doing stuff that is going to make it hard, not just on you, but on the next generation, let alone the people that are in your generation. Dr. J.J. and Desiree Hertok, I thank you so much for joining us on the program. Your websites, once again, are futurescience.org and keysofenoch.org. The book is The Overself Awakening, A Guide for the Schoolhouse of the Soul. And it's been a joy having you on the program.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you so much, and blessings to everyone out there throughout the world.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're here to give you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And it can happen. Just in these last 5 minutes of the program, I have to say, I'm charged up and ready to go, folks. I don't know about you. Until next Saturday at 3 p.m. Pacific time and streaming live on the internet, richarddugan.com. Love to all.